Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of our pod. Today's episode, we get to sit down and have a conversation with my beautiful mom, Barbara Smith, and talk about just her life. I mean, this is an incredible story, that of courage, that of resilience. We talk about putting her dreams on the back burner while raising my sister and I, then years later, going through a divorce, walking away from all she has known. This is a great conversation about finding your voice, finding yourself in the midst of all those things going on in that dynamic of a relationship. So this is a conversation I trust that you will get a lot out of. And again, thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table, quarantine style. I got my beautiful queen to the left of me who happened to do her hair yesterday and looks very nice.
I had to do my hair because, well, one, I've just been wearing it in a ponytail every day. Ponytail, 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 ponytail. And I'm like over it. And I really want to cut my hair, but I can't because my brother is on quarantine as well. He does my hair. And I haven't been wearing makeup at all. So I was like, let me at least do a little something. So this all you get.
Babe, I appreciate the extensive intro.
Sorry, I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
We're in the intro phase. And we're throwing it over to NoHo, where we got B-Real and a wonderful guest. B, tell us who you got.
Yeah, today you guys get the honor, the people listening, to hear from my mom. My mom, Barbara Smith.
Another B. Smith.
Let's go. It's great because you guys have been hearing from my family, but it's super special to have her on today talking about what we're talking. We'll get into that into a second. And yeah, it's super special because you guys have heard me talk about just our relationship, how important it is to me, how amazing I think she is. So to finally have her here with us sharing her heart today and probably some things that I've never heard before, this is going to be interesting. I'm excited and at the same time, like, just a little bit nervous, you know, because that's like, that's pretty dope that I get to have my mom on here and ask her questions that we haven't talked about before. So
I echo that because I don't know how many people could actually do a podcast with their mom,
yeah,
or their dad,
and it not be weird to get kind of vulnerable and to the nitty gritty. So we are drinking today.
Yep.
Ooh. Yep. And this is a Pirano Estate.
Yeah.
They sent us some wine and, it's pretty bomb. We opened it up like a day or two ago. So that's what mom and I are drinking over here. Cheers, mom.
Cheers, son.
Cheers. We're on water right now. We're being a bit boring.
I'm a little dehydrated from driving my car. That classic is a work. I'm realizing that shifting is work. So I'm really dehydrated. I'm not going to lie. Anyways.
Those forearms are burning.
Yeah, bro.
So today what we're talking about is finding your voice. And again, it's interesting because here we have a mom, my mom, and that is coming from, we'll get into that into the beginning, kind of going back. But it's been a long journey for my mom to find her voice. And as a kid, you don't really understand these things and you can't process these things. But for so many years without me realizing it, my mom at times felt like she had no voice. And I know for probably a lot of the moms listening, there's this element of them in their relationship, in the busyness of kids and schedules, and even those who might be in a ministry space. It is a struggle for a lot of women to find their voice in the midst of all of that. And so that's why I'm super excited to get into this and have my mom share just a little bit of that journey. So mom, let's get into it right now.
Let's get into it. Yeah. It's so good to be a part of this because this is one of my favorite, I'm not just saying this, putting a plug in for Nights at the Round Table, but it is one of my favorite podcasts and, you know, I've shared it with so many. So it's to be on when Brennan asked me, I was like, oh, okay, I'd love to do that. And so I really had to, you know, think about some things and process, you know, because even sharing these things and being vulnerable, I mean, it really took me back to some things like, wow, I really need to, you know, so this is really good. Yeah. It's really good for me. So a little history, in the finding the voice, but you know, in raising kids and that kind of thing to this'll, I'm going to kind of go backwards a little bit. And before I was married, you know, in college, You know, part of my thing was to, I was interested in health and wellness because I'm going to go somewhere later with this. And so right after high school, went straight to college, got a scholarship. And then, in that, I actually got another 2-year scholarship to Pepperdine here in Malibu for basketball and didn't accept that and ended up getting married at 22.
Oh, wow.
So very young, you know, kind of, I would say even naive to a lot of things, but went immediately into full-time ministry. And I grew up Catholic, so this was all very new to me, you know, jumping right in. You know, I didn't have all the biblical background and all that. You know, I was a good little Catholic girl. And so anyway, jumping right into marriage. And then this amazing kid right here was due one year later.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, young, full-time ministry, and then here he comes, which, again, both my kids, you know, I have to state at the beginning here that they've been the joy, one of the greatest joys of my life, you know, and the greatest accomplishments that I've ever accomplished is having, you know, him and Brittany. And so, so right into marriage, and again, having at the beginning thinking I'm going to go in one direction as far as my personal career, and then all of a sudden all that changes. And so... Which again, you know, it's great. I'm, you know, newly mom with both two kids now because I had them immediately right after. And so, you know, you get so involved, of course, in just raising your kids, which again, that's, you know, that's not a sacrifice. Any mom will, you know, that's a joy to do. And so.
Barb, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you said you got a scholarship and you didn't take it and you got married instead.
Mm-hmm.
Was the timing of that like you felt you had to choose scholarship or get married, or was it you said no to the scholarship for whatever reason and then you ended up meeting somebody and getting married?
No, we were actually, we met in college. And so, Okay. So it was, you know, that definitely wouldn't have worked because it wasn't like he was going to, you know, wait 2 years kind of thing for me to finish up my career and who knows, you know, where that was going to go. So pretty much I just had to lay it down, you know? Yeah. So, and I'm not saying he forced me to do that. I'm saying Okay. It just didn't work. It wouldn't have worked. You know, I was going in one direction and like, okay, if, you know, if this is going to work, then you got to lay that down. So, yeah.
So first starting off in that, coming into the marriage, young, 22, was there an expectation that you were going to somehow kind of still end up back on the path that you were pre-marriage?
I had hoped that I could finish my education. Yeah. And that ended up happening 10 years after marriage. Once the kids were a little older, I decided to go back to school. And that lasted maybe 3 years because at that time, I'm a full-time mom, full-time ministry, and a full-time student.
Hmm.
And so because I wanted to pursue that, you know, there was something inside of me always that thought, man, I still want to do this. And not to say, I mean, I loved ministry and all that, but there was still a personal thing that I wanted to do for myself. And so, anyway, ended up trying to go back to school, but that didn't, you know, that wasn't able to pan out because, you know, I was doing, of course, too much. And anyway, it actually started affecting my health. So of course, again, sacrificing that, I had to put that on the back burner again, you know? So, so life goes on and, you know, you get consumed as a mom, you know, and I think in between that time, you get so consumed in being a mom and just your life, ministry, all that kind of stuff that, you know, there's some moms could relate that you neglect yourself. You neglect your needs, what you want to do because, you know, it's all for your kids, your family, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and I don't regret that, but that was just, you know, what it was. So
which one of these decisions then do you feel was when, because you mentioned a couple of them, A, I didn't know you was a baller. That is kind of impressive.
I was impressed by that as well when I found out Brandon's basketball influence was his mom, not his dad. Would assume his dad, tall black guy, like, oh, that's where Brandon gets it from. And it's like, no, it's Barb.
It's the little Mexican. Yeah. that was one thing that you had to forego. I think it's interesting that you said, you know, it just wouldn't have worked, like, and that you didn't think that he would wait the 2 years. So that makes me want to ask even more questions.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think at which one of these points was it that you basically laid your voice down? Like you put it down, whatever it was that you felt strongly that you had to do, at some point you had to believe that your call, your voice, whatever it was somehow second tier to his. I know that was back in those days too. It was probably even more prominent.
Yeah.
To like let the guy lead and you just kind of have to follow. Mm-hmm. It didn't make a lot of sense back then to be like, well, I'm the woman. I got to finish my stuff first. This is how it goes. So at what point do you think in your life do you remember, or do you remember that you quieted your own voice?
You know, I think I honestly didn't kind of expect, I mean, I did really want to go on to college, but I didn't expect like a scholarship. I mean, that came kind of out of the blue. And so, you know, it wasn't like something like, oh, I had, you know, dreamed of actually either. I wasn't raised like, okay, you go to college and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I think for me, it wasn't a huge letdown, although I'd love to finish my education, but because I was going to go and play basketball. So of course I wanted, you know, the education part, but I think I was okay at the time to say, you know, I can let this go because maybe I can pick up the education, you know, later on kind of thing. So yeah. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So which decision was it though, that you felt that was the pinnacle, which was the beginning of you putting yourself, because you mentioned earlier, as moms, you kind of put your needs and your wants.
Yeah.
So what was the starting point of that habit of putting your needs and your wants behind? Was it when you had your first kid, or was it when you decided to, so it was a kid?
Yeah, I think once having Brandon literally a year later, and then Britt literally, you know, 14 months later after Brandon was born. So we, you know, having back-to-back kids early on, you know, then, you know, hey, I want to raise my kids, you know, kind of thing. And so you just, mm-hmm. you kind of, again, you know, put everything aside and think, okay. And I think as the kids got older, that's why after 10 years into the marriage, I realized, you know what, I want to try this thing again, you know, because it never leaves you. When you have that dream inside that you really feel like, you know, that's deep down inside, it never leaves. And so it was always on the back burner. And I had always had this dream of, okay, once the kids are older and they're more, you know, don't need me as much in a sense as, you know, when they're children. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to try this thing again. And then I tried it again. And, you know, again, it only lasted 3 years because I was doing so much. You know, again, I had to sacrifice it. I had to put it back on the, you know, put it back on the altar, put it in the back burner and just say, okay, if I never do this again, you know, but... Yeah, so that was hard because I was really at that point really succeeding in school and it was something that I felt good that I was doing for myself, you know, because at this point I'm pouring into everybody else. I'm pouring into my ex's, you know, career, his ministry, you know, my kids, their schedules, their crazy schedules, but, you know, I loved it, you know, and so, you know, I felt really good. It was like, man, I'm back in school, and I did it in the classroom, so here I am, this, you know, 40-year-old or... I don't know, 35-year-old at this point, sitting with all these young kids, and I was the, you know, youngest one sitting in the front, you know. But anyway, I went back to school and just loved it. I excelled, and that was hard for me to let that go again. I thought, man, if I don't do this now, it's never going to happen again, you know. Mm. And so,
two questions for you, mm-hmm. and you can answer this honestly, because I don't doubt that you love Britt and I, but I can imagine being in your shoes, 22 years old, getting married. And then having kids like straight away, there's got to be a place like in your 20s where you felt like, okay, my voice is on the back burner, that there's a place in you that even though you love us and there's love or whatever, you feel like you're suffocating or dying inside because you're not being what you're passionate about. Yeah. Did you feel like you were
absolutely.
Like dying inside?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I felt like I was dying. And I think 15, you know, you mentioned it, 15, about 15 years into the marriage, I realized... okay, I'm not happy, and marriage is not going good, and then I'm like, you know, not living out my dream, you know, so all these things, so that's when a shift and a change started to happen in me, and I realized, you know, I began to ask questions, about my faith, about the church, my marriage, and all of a sudden, you know, and I was taught, you don't ask questions. You know, I know in some mm-hmm. of the previous podcasts, you guys have talked about that. So you don't ask questions. You work. And I just worked my butt off for my family, poured my life into them. But then, you know, about 15 years into it, I was just thinking, you know what, I was so unhappy. I mean, my kids don't even know, honestly, how unhappy I was, because I just didn't share those things with them, you know? And so, but I was miserable. And in fact, there was time where I went through a major, major depression. I didn't even want to get up in the morning. I mean, it was bad.
Wow.
And so that's when I realized, when all of a sudden now I wanted a voice, and I do have an opinion, but that didn't, you know, in the marriage that didn't work. And so
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, I was going to ask you the whole time.
Yeah.
Was there ever a conversation with your husband like, hey, I feel like I'm drowning here? Was there ever a time where there was him being like, well, you know what? We got to freaking pump some stuff into your dreams then. Like, let's make your dreams come true. Was there ever that, or did it pretty much stay one course?
Many conversations, but it just wouldn't have worked, and it didn't work. So, you know, yes, I was literally dying inside. And I'm like, okay, that's when the whole deconstruction happened for me. And I'm like, that's where my voice began to come up. Cause I started questioning a whole lot of things in my life, you know, and was very unhappy, but just all that came out. And that's where the voice came back. And then it wasn't, you know,
and you don't even have to share the event if you don't want to, but for you, kind of what was like that last straw where you were like, ah, fuck it, I'm out of here. You know, like, I got to go find my voice. Like, this is it. Or was it kind of like it got to just like a boiling point from all the years and all the experiences of you feeling like, man, I don't have a voice in this?
Yeah, a combination. And yes, it did come to a boiling point. And I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget. But I put, you know, in a marriage, there's two people. And you know, you change continuously. Everyone changes continuously. And if both people are not willing to change with each other and even change in their own personal lives, that marriage is going to be a disaster. Mm-hmm. And that's what became to happen. I was changing and questioning so many things in a good way, good, healthy way, that I was actually using my voice now. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't going to happen in the marriage. And so, you know, after 2 decades of a failed marriage, that's when, you know, it ended in divorce. And then here I am, you know, this woman, middle-aged woman with no personal career, no way to support myself. What do I do? Wow. And so there's many people, you know, being in the ministry, you know, for 22 something years, you know, it's kind of sad. And I just feel like I'm going to mention this because it just came to me that, you know, there were so many women in ministry that feel the same way. And there were so many women that were reaching out to me and just that felt that same thing, just dead inside, that they were just so pursuing their husband's career and his dreams and that they were just dead inside. And so once my divorce and everything was final, I can't even tell you how many women, and most of you women, you know, most of you guys know who they are, and I'm not going to mention my name, but there's so many women out there who are reaching out to me like, wow, how did you do it? What did you do? What did, you know, how did you have the courage to, you know, pursue whatever it was, you know? And so, so I know it definitely, you know, it wasn't easy. Yeah.
I can't imagine a life where I don't care about Angie's dreams, or at least try to make them happen. I just cannot. I would have to be so self-absorbed.
Yes, that's exactly.
Like, how? I don't know. Maybe it's different. I don't know if you can, because Maddie's a strong woman and Maddie got hella dreams.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine a world where you don't ask, encourage, implore, push, sacrifice your own self so that they can do something? Like, I right now am a complete, what would I be called? House husband? I am a complete house husband. I'm going
You write music.
I do all that stuff in between washing clothes, washing cars, like cleaning the house. You know what I'm saying? But in my mind, I'm like, I am doing all this so that she can go out there without a single care in the world and kill it. Yeah. Because for whatever reason, God has put her on a pedestal right now. And I'm looking from down here, up here, and it's a beautiful sight. I am not insecure about this. I'm not whatever. I am amazed that this little girl from San Jose, can go out there and do what she is doing. And I am thrilled to take care of the house. I am thrilled to do all these things because I just believe in pushing my significant other. Like, how can I not if I married her and my, you know?
I wonder if there was, and I don't know this, but I'm visualizing right now, if there was some sort of feeling that because his ministry was working, that what is the point of putting this ministry on the back burner? This is working. We need to work together to keep this at where it's at because it's working, as opposed to let's abandon this. Like, what if he was thinking like those types of thoughts? I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, obviously, but I wonder if there was some sort of like logistical, well, this is working. What, why would, what do you mean? You know what I mean?
I do. There's also another scenario where Jaki mentioned what happens if you don't know what your dream is. So you're kind of co-signing on your spouse's dream because you haven't figured out your own dream either.
Mm. Yeah. And there's many like that. Yeah. And two, it was hard because, you know, of a traveling ministry. So I'm really home. I mean, as the kids got older, we got to travel more, but for the most part, you know, it was traveling all the time. And so, you know, I was able to manage the ministry from home and while he's out on the road and with the kids. So I was very, I mean, you know, even taking the risk to go back to school, that was even hard. And of course it only worked for 3 years and then I had to stop again, you know? So, yeah.
When you finally decided you divorce was the solution here, talk to us a little bit about like making that decision, because being in ministry, there's that extra pressure, the magnifying glass on you guys. Mm-hmm. And can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, and I know there's many women who are still, and this is sad to say this, but I'm going to say it. They're still in a marriage that is there. They can't get out or don't feel like they can get out because they don't have, what do they do financially for themselves? You know, especially midlife. I mean, I am, you know, midlife. And that was a scary thing. Like, you know, my thoughts were, what am I going to do? I don't even have a career. You know, my education's been on hold. So now I got to go back to school at 50 something years old. You know, what am I going to do? And so there's a lot of, you know, so anyway, so it was scary. It took years and years of just, well, it just got so bad at the end that of course I was just like, I need out. You know, I'm dead and I need some life, you know?
Did you experience backlash from
I lost. I walked away from everything. Wow. Everything. And when I say everything, physically, spiritually, I mean, all those relationships that I nurtured for years, people that I was in the labor room helping them have their child, you know, didn't hear from all those people. So that was honestly the hardest part, the backlash that I got from all those ministry people.
Yeah.
Wow. And I had to learn, you know what? That's okay. Because I mean, that was one of the most painful things. And then obviously being away from the kids for those years and stuff. But so to be honest with you, the divorce, it was the backlash from all the ministry. You know, this is sad, but I am going to say this again.
Go ahead, say it.
I was treated more harshly from the church people than the people in the world had treated me more kind. And I'll never forget that, because now when I walk into a church, I mean, I have a whole different, you know, so that was the heart, one of the hardest things for
me.
And I
think too, coming from the place where, you know, my dad is much more in a public light, and like for a lot of people, like, yo, that's their hero. And he's still my hero in a lot of ways, you know? But in the midst of that, none of us want to see our hero as the person who maybe was part of the problem. So in a lot of those situations, unfortunately, it kind of goes to the woman in that position where it's all of a sudden they're like looking for a scapegoat, like someone to kind of pin the blame on.
Yeah.
And so when my mom walking away, it was like, you know, I can attest to that. She really did walk away from anything, like from everything. I mean, and with that, it was like, unfortunately, there was a lot of people that are like, well, you know, Barb lost the faith, you know, which was really something that I actually heard, you know, and without me even realizing it, it was just like, yo, she was on a different journey at that point of deconstruction and trying to find her voice in the midst of that. And so, yeah, it was.
I think that is. I think any. I mean, stepping into. I cannot imagine. And this is props to you, Barb. I mean, 20 years married, and then in your 50s to be like, well, I'm gonna have to step out and do this on my own. Like, that is an insane amount of like courage. I don't know if I don't know if I would have that. I mean,
yeah,
it's like props,
especially too, because like in some ways the partnership is working, you know, like in some ways. So it's like I'm taking the gamble that
right.
This might be worse on the other side, but I'm hoping it's better because wow. Right now the situation I'm in, and you probably describe it better because it's your life, but I could imagine that like it felt like, okay, I'm in this room and there's a ceiling. And now if I step out of this room, there's a chance that I could reach the sky, but you don't know for sure, you know? And so it's like, even I think like as I'm putting the pieces together, as I'm talking to you, I think, stepping out actually gave you the chance to find your voice again.
Yeah.
And again, this is making a lot more sense in my mind right now as I'm describing it, but I'm like actually processing this right now on a deep level, and it makes like a lot of sense to me. So I can imagine the courage in stepping in that moment. Cause I know when it first happened, I even blamed my mom, you know, because I just didn't see the whole picture. And my grid was so small in comparison to what the reality of the situation was. And so, yeah. So share a little bit now of like
what you gained.
Yeah. What you gained.
Yeah. So, you know, after all those losses, and it was a painful journey of figuring out this thing, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I'm not going to go try to find a job at Walmart. You know, I mean, what do I do at my age, you know? And so I had to go back to what it was before I was married and before I had kids. What was it? What was it that, you know, gave me that brought me joy or happiness? You know what? Because at that point, I'm like, I had poured my life into them so much, you know, my marriage, ministry, kids, that I'm like, who's Barb? I don't even know who I am anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And so it was a painful process of, I mean, honestly, I'd have to say it was years. It was a painful process of figuring out, Barb, what do you want to do now? You know? And so that's when I had to go back and answer that question. Okay, what do you want to do, Barb? What makes you happy? And so I thought, you know, I'm going to go back to school and educate myself on something that I had started, you know, in my 20s, you know, 30 years later now, I'm going to do it, you know? And that's what I did. I ended up going to school and, you know, in the process Come of on. Just all the healing and everything, but just it helped me to really focus on other things and not so much of all my, what I thought was, you know, loss, but, you know, relationships and different things. Sure, those were lost, but, you know, I knew God had so much more for me, and it's like, okay, these people just weren't meant to be in my future. So, you know, yeah. bye, you know? yeah. And so I ended up going back to school and I became a certified health coach, and then I wanted to go kind of deeper into it. So then I got my degree to be a naturopathic doctor. So I'm a board certified naturopathic doctor and do lymphatic drain. I mean, there's just, you know, a whole lot of little skills here and there, and finally pursued, you know, what I ultimately wanted to, you know, 30 years, you know, later.
You know what else then, what else I want to ask you then, because a lot of the women that hit me up, and even from my mom, I remember when my parents' relationship got tested, a lot of the reasons that women stay are for the kids.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting of like, what did you think was going to happen as far as your relationship with your kids? Obviously, B already said, you know, at the beginning, he blamed you. So I'm sure there was a strain.
Yeah.
There was a fear of walking away because what are the kids going to think? Are they going to understand it? Am I messing them up by doing this?
Sure.
Can you talk about the circle? Can you talk about the
Yeah, without the getting low into point all of- the really details of it. Yeah, that was that. And actually, I waited until, I mean, we both knew that everything was about to hit the fan. Okay. So before it actually happened, I literally waited until Brittany, you know, Brandon was already off in college. So I literally waited till Brittany was done. I mean, on her way to college. So literally the day that we moved her into her dorm, you know, I went back home, packed up two suitcases. Yep, exactly. I went back home, packed up two suitcases, and walked out and never looked back. Two suitcases. And I lived off two suitcases for 2 years of clothes. Wow. I didn't take anything from the home.
Wow.
The home that I was raising my kids with everything there just walked away.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was very hard. And I didn't anticipate, you know, the backlash, you know, with the kids and them not understanding. I thought, because, you know, we really hid stuff. They didn't see that we were not getting along. They didn't see, we didn't fight in public. We didn't, you know, I have a lot of regrets in that. I wish we would have actually, you know, but, you know, I thought I was doing them a favor, but in fact, I really wasn't. But that's inwardly, wow. you're trying to guard your kids, you know, you want the best for them. And so I didn't realize, I mean, honestly, had I known the backlash that I'd have from them and not, you know, speaking with me and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, that was the hardest thing. And I thought, well, shoot, maybe I should have done this years ago when they were younger, you know, but then it's like, no, I didn't want to disrupt their life. So really, honestly, I stayed in it because of them too. And I thought, okay, they're off to college. So I raised my kids now. I can leave, you know.
Did you ever have a regret after you left?
No,
did
never. Not one moment. Not one moment. Yeah. And in fact, I, you know, speaking with different counselors and different, you know, district, you know, from the assemblies of God, all this kind of stuff. You know, in fact, he mentioned to me, he said, you know, I see now you feel like a bird has been let out of the cage and you are free now. And I said, that's exactly right.
Did he ever try to get you back?
He would think so, but no. I waited a whole year before I you know, thought, okay, if he's going to pursue me. So I waited a whole year and, you know, before I filed for divorce and nothing happened. Mm. So although... Yeah, that's a whole nother long story, but yeah, it just, no. Not like you want to pursue somebody and save a marriage. No.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, even me looking on this, right, because this has been almost 7-8 years now, or is it nine?
Nine
years. Yeah. It's interesting seeing the person who my mom is now and the person, the mom that I have known all my life. And it's kind of cool because, like, obviously, man, I had to walk through some stuff and process some stuff and get whole or whatever, but like my mom that I know now, like, I mess with heavy, you know, like we were cool and we had like obviously a deep bond, but you know, like seeing my mom now almost like in full strength, like this, like I saw her pre kind of hero stage and now on the post of it, it's like a completely different person, you know? And that's been really cool to see. Yeah. And it's honestly been like one of the highlights of my life here in my later 20s is seeing my mom who she is now and having the relationship that we have.
So I guess speaking, and I know Britt's in the room somewhere, but I guess speaking as kids of divorced parents, and Barb kind of brought it up just right now. She wishes she would have fought in public. She wishes she would have like let y'all know, hey, some shit's going on.
Hey, if we ever got problems, everybody gonna know.
Yeah. As kids.
Won't nobody be surprised.
You talking about me and you?
Yeah.
Give me a kiss, though. Okay. B, and I don't know if Britt's in the room or yours, but anyways, do you feel, speaking as a kid, and the reason I'm asking this is because, again, maybe there's moms with younger kids who feel like if they don't stick or if they don't drench every, like, rip every ounce of joy out of their life for their kids and just stick, that they'll mess them up. Do you guys feel, and the best that you can answer this, do you feel that if she was honest earlier, that it would have maybe helped you to understand the situation a little more and maybe not tax y'all's relationship? Or do you feel like, in retrospect, she handled it the correct way?
You know, I think everything looks different in retrospect. Mm-hmm. But I think if I would have seen them argue early on more, I'd understand the bigger picture of what healthy relationships look like. Mm. Because it was almost still like, the ministry image was the image that it got at home. Like, it was like, oh, this is all good. This is working. All cylinders firing. When that really wasn't the case. Which kind of comes down to an even bigger thing, which is kind of one of the values I feel like of this whole pod, is that is having honesty and authenticity.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, there was a little bit of like, my parents were faking their marriage in front of my sister and I, which at the time might seem like the better situation, but in the long run, it's only going to hurt when you discover the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then what it does to your marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. So
like, do you now suffer, do you at all have any, weight of responsibility to make things look good? Or are you more like, fuck the system. If things are bad, we need to A, be honest with ourselves. B, let someone know that can help us through it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what does it do to you? Does it make you want to mimic that or run away from that as quick as possible?
I think for me, and again, this also comes down to a bigger thing too. I think sometimes within the generations, you find different values.
Sure.
So like, I know my parents and my grandparents, like the thought of a strong woman having a voice, pursuing her dreams and her career, and she's a go-getter, and the husband kind of following along is kind of like non-existent. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we live in a time and age now where it's like, oh yeah, like we celebrate, we empower women, you know? And so I think for me, seeing that, seeing kind of the after that, and then also who I chose to marry, a strong woman with a voice. Mm-hmm. I just realized, like, you know, I don't want to be my dad in this situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just learning from mistakes, because that's the truth. Like, parents, like, your kids are learning from you, good and bad. Like, there's going to be a lot of good you bring to their life, and then a lot of the bad stuff too. They're going to not want to be that. And you could have the most perfect parents in the world. So I just, like, I think I'm a lot more aware and conscientious of that truth. Now, I think if this whole thing didn't go down the way it went down and my parents were still kind of faking their marriage in some ways, I don't think there would be such an emphasis on me doing all that I can in my power to empower Maddie's voice in our marriage.
Hmm.
But because of it happened, there's now eyes to see that of like, oh, I recognize now what it looks like when a woman in marriage is feeling like she's suffocating and dying, because I witnessed that firsthand with my mom. Mm. And so it's like, it's beautiful, because a generation after, it's like, we get to learn from that and grow. And at the same time, I'm growing with my mom now in our relationship. So.
And go ahead, Ange.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know, Manny, the question you asked before, it's like, okay, because there, when you're in that, you know, marriage, in my case, there really is no right and wrong. You have to deal with it as it is and as it comes, depending on what mm-hmm. you're. So for me, I had to make that choice to leave, knowing that, I mean, I just had to, because I was dying. And there right. was just, I had to. And I, again, I didn't know what was on the other side, like B said, but I knew the moment I walked out, you know, I was free. And I've never felt that freedom in my life ever. I mean, I was more closer to God in those moments after than I had ever been. And, you know, it's interesting that people, and I'm jumping a little bit here, had asked me after, like, now in my career, you know, oh, so you're not in ministry anymore. And I had to tell them, no, actually, I am still in ministry. In fact, I'm helping people physically and emotionally every day, one-on-one. Mm. But my whole mindset of even ministry changed, because it's like, it's not just about the microphone. It's not just about the platform. It's about literally helping mm-hmm. people one-on-one. I mean, go put me out with the homeless right now. That's where I want to be, you know? And so I had, the whole mindset had to shift of ministry, because, yeah, I am in ministry. It's my personal ministry now, what I'm doing and helping people still, but in a different way. You know,
sure.
So
I was going to speak on coming from a product of a broken home. You know, you were saying, like, maybe if we would have fought, or they would have seen that it wasn't working, it would have been easier or better, or I should have done it sooner, or whatever. I don't even think that's the case because, again, it's everyone's different. But when my parents got divorced, my dad was very abusive and it was evident that that wasn't the best marriage. And I remember the day my mom told us they were getting divorced and I was heartbroken. Hmm. Still, even after seeing all of that, I was just so heartbroken still. And it's like, and I was 8. So I know it has a lot to do with, you know, what can you even comprehend at that time? And,
yeah,
you know, what does that mean for me? Like, is this my fault? And all the things. So I don't, there is no right time, right when. And if we fought in front of people, then maybe nobody would have been surprised. But I don't know that it absolves the sting.
Sure.
It's just, it is what it is. Yeah.
But sometimes it's one of those things where, you know, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Like, meaning like honest wounds. Like when you deal in honesty, you can always expect an honest outcome, you know? So if you move and make decisions in truth, as opposed to in hyperbole, you know what I'm saying?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm not saying put on a front because it doesn't matter either way. Like, obviously I would advocate for living in truth first, but yeah. I'm just saying in regards to like the effect it has on children, I had the opposite. My mom got divorced when I was real young and it still hurt. And it still, I saw that it wasn't a good marriage and I still was hurt by it. So it didn't really.
Yeah. It's the same thing with, with Maddie's parents too. They got divorced when she's around 8. And so it's interesting because that time was so painful for her. She buried a lot of those memories. She doesn't have a lot of memories when she was young, which is so interesting. So like her subconscious, and somebody could probably share this in a much better way than me, but somehow her subconscious pushed a lot of those memories that she had with both of her parents into some deep place that she doesn't have access to right now. And so, you know, her parents, it's crazy because, again, she was so young that she didn't really have the tools to process that, you know? So it was going to sting regardless. But at least now I have some tools to see what's going on and see a bigger picture than when I did when it happened in my early 20s. So,
hey, so Barb, I have a question now. On this side of things, yeah, you may be a little more fine wine, beautifully aged.
I know you kept saying midlife. I was like looking at the screen going, what does midlife mean these days? Because
well, thank you.
What?
What is there in this process? Have you found hope in love again? And question number two would be, has any of that hope come from watching your son?
Oh, absolutely. I have a lot of hope. And yes, and my relationship with both my kids is amazing. And that's, again, one of my greatest joys in life. Have not found love, but I am on a search, you know, and hopefully he's searching for me. You know, I want to make a statement. I kind of jumping back, but, you know, I had wrote this down, but it's sometimes you have to realize who you're not to realize who you are. And so that's something I had to, you know, kind of backtracking here, but I had to realize a lot of things that I wasn't, that I was, again, portraying to be, or, and not in a bad way in my heart, but it's just that, you know, the ministry, all these kind of things, but deep down inside, you know, sometimes you have to realize who you're not in order to realize who you are, you know? And that's been
that's deep,
you know, a real enlightenment of, you know, figuring that out for me. But anyway, so getting back to the love and hope. So yes, the hope, absolutely, with my kids and still waiting for that love. So
yeah, I remember one thing, I'll share the story. This is a pretty intimate moment my mom and I had, but she, this was when Maddie and I believe at first got married or we were engaged. And, she told me, she goes, you know, Brandon, like what you and Maddie have, that's true love. And she goes, I don't know if I really had that. And like, that makes my heart so happy, you know? And, and that was like a pretty special thing. And also too, a little bit of like, oh man, like it made my heart go out to my mom because, you know, like we want to see our parents happy. Like,
yeah,
you know, I want, my mom's thriving, my dad's thriving. They're doing their thing. They're both happy. And that makes my heart happy in the midst of that.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. So looking for that true love for sure.
Yeah. That's good. I wanted to ask that because I feel like, again, that's probably another thing that people are scared of. We, you know, in the episode that we just had, we talked about more people are afraid of being alone than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, loneliness scares people into unhappiness,
yeah,
which is pretty, it's wow, pretty intense. It's, and it's, and neither of them are good, like, options, like as if there's no third option.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that there is only those two options. I'm either going to be alone and unhappy or with someone and unhappy.
Yeah.
And we never conceive the idea that we can be in solitude, happy, like a happy person, choosing to be alone, knowing that there's a standard of life that you want that can only be attained when you treat yourself in the manner that you want to be treated.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
yeah, definitely.
We're going to put your socials on this episode. We're going to tag you and any of our listeners out there, and you,
I'm going to go look at our demo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at our, what our demographics are.
We got a lot of young ladies listening, but these young ladies have some single dads.
Ooh, that single dad market.
And let me tell you, I got a single dad, but I would never do that to you, Barb. So. My dad is very handsome. Every time I post a picture of my dad, all the girls start commenting like, dang, your dad, oh, dang. I'm like, don't, ladies. Don't do it. My dad's a forever bachelor.
Oh, I love That's your dad. Hilarious. He's the whitest sounding vato in the world.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my mom finding that someone. And I know this time around, I know it'll look a lot different. And I'm excited for that. And yeah, I'm like, I got my eyes out too. I'm like trying to find like eligible bachelors for my mom, you know, in no way.
Hey, are you on any of the apps?
I am.
Which
what
one?
What is that like?
Which ones though?
I am, so yeah.
Is that weird? Is that like,
it's weird.
I want to know which ones. Which ones.
Oh, Tinder, Bumble, and I just did Hinge? Is that
Hinge,
the new one?
Yep.
Yeah, I have to finish. I haven't finished doing all the, you know, my profile and stuff, so. But yeah,
because we've talked about like, God forbid, one of us dies, because we'll never say like if we get divorced, but we go, if one of us dies,
that's the only way we're getting out of this shit.
Yeah. And we have to get on the apps, like, oh my gosh, I
don't think you can get on the apps.
I don't know. And then they have those like famous people apps, but even then it's stupid.
No.
I feel like I don't know what I would do.
When you got a little bit of clout and a little bit of fame, all the apps are the apps. You ain't even got to go on the dating apps. They going to find you. They going to find you on all the normal apps.
Like,
shoot,
the
they going to find you on the apps that ain't even supposed to be dating apps.
Yeah, it's weird now. In.
My Instacart driver.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I like this grocery list,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's like, I put in a little something name. Extra. Check the bag, number two.
Hey. Right? He's going to see your name on your Postmates driver is going to show up real dressed, really fly. Hey, where you going?
Yeah.
I'm going here.
And I'm sure, too, like, I mean, it's crazy how much that everything's changed. Hi, Blue.
Hi, Blue boy.
Look at Blue.
I need you to get off, buddy. We're going to lose our...
oh, my God. Look at him.
Look at him on the mic.
Okay.
All right, off. I know, even since the last time I was dating, which was 2015 when I met Maddie, like even the dating game has kind of changed since then. So I can imagine for someone like you, mom, like you've been out of the game for a minute and now you're back in it. Like there's a lot of changes.
Lots of changes. Yeah. It's challenging. It's very different. It's, you know, Yeah, it's hard.
Hey, but do you meet more guys that are like no BSers, or do you feel like dudes still at this age are still trying to act like they're 30, like they got options?
Both.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I guess that's possible because your dad's like that.
Yeah.
He think he got forever options.
Yeah.
He think he gonna be fly forever.
My dad just lives his life. We FaceTimed my dad yesterday, and he's like, oh, I just went for a Harley run, and like he just does his own.
I mean, as long as he's happy, I don't care.
Does his own life.
I mean, real G's don't die. They multiply.
You know? He's just out there living.
Yeah. For me, you know, it's kind of like, because some of my friends are like, well, Barb, your expectations are too high and da-da-da. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not, even at my age, you know, my young age, I'm not going to settle, you know, because
that's right.
I know what I want.
Yes.
I know what you're I didn't have settled. And what I want now. So I'm just not, you know. And there's some things that are at the top of my list. Like this one guy, I mean, beautiful, gorgeous, fit. He was a model. I mean, but he had two kids. And if he's, you know, he was like 49. And anyway, had two young kids, like a 4-year-old and like an 8-year-old. And I was just like, sorry, I'm not raising kids anymore. I raise my kids right. And I'm just not going to. That's one of my things. I'm just not, I don't want to do that. I mean, not unless it just like, okay, this dude is just everything else I want, you know, and looking for. But outside of that, I'm just, that's one of my things. I'm just like, I raise my kids. I don't want to do that again. I'm looking for forward to grandchildren, but you know, not to raising kids on the weekend. It's like, no, I want to live my life. I don't want to, you know, right. and that's just me. I mean, I'm not saying that's bad for other people or whatever, if they're doing, you know, but that's just not for me. So, yeah.
Man, I don't want to raise those kids either.
Manny can help you write your dating profile.
I am pretty
bios.
Good. I'm pretty good with profiles.
I might need some help then, Manny.
We redid one of our friends' dating profile and stepped her game up.
Okay. She did let me know that I increased her traffic by 50%.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to
do
Manny
that. So Manny can hook you up.
Yeah.
Manny the miracle worker.
I am pretty good at knowing what men want because I am a man.
But also you just have a way with words.
And I have yeah. I know both sides really well.
Yeah. Well, hey, I will definitely enjoy you doing that for me. So,
well, the good thing to hear is women or men out there who are deciding that you want to find your voice again. Here's what I have taken from this. There's never a decision that you can't work back from. Like, there's never an end to certain decisions where you think there's a period. It seems to me that life hands you a bunch of commas until you breathe your last breath. So the fear of that decision being the thing that breaks you is a lie. Unhappiness can never be what you settle for, because I truly believe that every human being deserves to be happy. What happiness looks like to you, that's up for interpretation. But it's an important thing to understand that whether you have kids or not, at some point, and this is something that we brought up in another podcast, I believe, that I wish parents would do, that I know if we ever became parents, I would never want to neglect my life and my wife to raise my kids, because I know at some point these kids are going to leave and I'm going to be with this person until I die. Mm. And I don't want to be with a stranger. I don't want to have a decade gap to where I don't even know who she is anymore, just because I chose to make this little nigglet all my life. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to know that any hard decision you can come back from, whether you're believer, non-believer, even if you have to say goodbye to your old pack, there's still a new pack out there. There's new friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's new opportunities to find like-minded people that won't be with you only when things serve their purpose or things look like they serve your purpose. I always find it a beautiful thing that I had to find freedom outside of the Christian industry because of how toxic the ideologies are. Not everyone, not every toxic person, but the idea of things should look a certain way more than things should be a certain way. And then there was something else that Barb said. What was the gem that you dropped on us? Oh my God, you wrote it down.
Sometimes realize who you
are. Oh, you have to realize who you are not.
To realize who you are.
Who you are.
Yeah.
That's fire. That should be on a t-shirt somewhere. That should be on a Christian t-shirt.
Come
that
on,
should
somebody.
Be something that we say, that we truly say. Find out who you're not.
Yeah.
And if you're living in an unhappy life, there's probably a lot of examples.
Yeah.
That are literally currently happening right now. That every time you make that decision or you act that way, something in your gut tells you, I am not this person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once you can identify that, we just pray for the courage for you to make the decision that, she had to make, no matter what age that you're at.
Yeah. That's another thing too, that hearing this conversation, I walk away with that. Like, I'm sure at the point where my mom made that decision, it felt very late in the game, but it's like, it's never too late to press the reset button, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you might not have felt like you have been alive in a long time, but there's still hope that you could live again. You know, like I think of that passage in, was Ezekiel 37? And God tells the prophet, he says, hey, release life into these dead bones that they'd live again, you know? And literally these dead bones for a lot of people. And I can imagine moms out there, like, because I, you know, I got one right here who just kind of shared, like, for a long time, some of those dreams and passions felt like just like a skeleton in the closet type vibe, you know? But like pressing the reset, getting another chance over again, whether it's that second, third, fourth, whatever it is, that those dead bones can live again, you know, and like you can, it could become something again, and it can, you can walk in those passions and those dreams. And so, yeah, like my mom's story to me is a message of like encouragement to anyone who's felt like, yeah, I don't think it could get better than this.
Yeah, for sure.
And just seeing the happiness and joy that my mom has today is one of those reminders for me that when I look at her and I think of what I just said, you know?
I think another fire bar from this episode is life is a series of commas.
Mm.
Are you like that?
Babe. Yeah, that's good. That's what I'm saying. You got to weigh your words. So you're going to add that to her bio. This is just a comma.
Yeah. I want to speak that over all of us on this podcast. Life is a series of commas, relationally and hopefully financially. Ooh, I felt that. Ooh.
Hey.
I got breakthrough. Whoa, that stimulus check just hit right now.
That stimulus check just hit right now.
Hit the direct deposit.
Check your account. The Lord is speaking in ones and zeros. I want to hear you, Lord. Let me stop. There's going to be a lot of people thinking I'm sacrilegious.
Yep. Some hater just got ammo.
Hey Barb, thanks for being on this episode and being so courageous.
Oh, it was great, and it was good.
I truly appreciate it.
Be able to communicate, and you know, hopefully this.
I'm excited for everyone that's going to be able to learn from this, and we're going to put your info in the description.
Yeah,
and a link to your Hinge page, and
so that if you're okay with it, if there's any women that would want to reach out,
absolutely. Give them my information. I'd love to.
Yeah. You can slide into her DMs. And if there's any men, preferably
I'd
men
love that
who
too.
preferably men who have their shit together can slide into the DM with nice shoes and a kind heart, please. Because we all will be reading all the messages.
Believe it.
Don't get put on blast.
Yeah,
we love you guys so much. Hey, we pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.